to the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall. I am joined, as always, by my co-host and financial consigliere, Jason Kirk. Jason, how are the markets?
Buy.
Buy.
Sell. Buy.
Buy.
Like insane. That was insane.
I got two phones like it's 1938. Buy, sell.
Did two phones exist in 1938?
You know, it had to be the most baller thing if you had two phones, right? Like, but they would be party lines, so it'd be even more confusing because you'd be talking to 38 people on each one.
I feel like in 1938, the rap song was like, I got both phones that exist. We're also joined by Holly Anderson and Ryan Nanny, who also are gathered here to learn some exciting financial information. How are y'all doing, by the way?
I'm just a proud customer of the Bank of Sandman. Thrilled to be here.
A few months ago, which feels like a few decades ago, back during the game stonk crisis / liberation, we decided to triple down, quadruple down to keep our luck rolling, to invest in more market futures, to apply our newfound economic expertise, and to advise you, the listener, on some more stonks you could get in on the ground floor of. Everyone at the time knew about AMC and Nokia and BlackBerry and so forth. No, those are duds. I don't look up how they've done since then. It's probably horrible. Instead, each of us selected a few stocks we'd had our eye on and done our due diligence on. And the game was each of us would present a 3-stock portfolio, and then at the time of the kickoff of football season, we would see who had delivered to you, the investor at home, the greatest percentage increase. It's a month after kickoff of football season, which is a perfect time to check in on this.
We wanted to be thorough.
Yeah, fiscal you got to make sure.
We're into a new fiscal year, so it's time to finally do our paperwork. Yeah.
Our accountants in the Moon Crew Discord kept track of this. We didn't ask them to, but, you know, great. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Let's see. First, let's go through a few key brands. It appears, percentage-wise, the biggest riser was Build-A-Bear for Ryan.
Do you want to explain why we were looking at stocks like Build-A-Bear in the first place?
There was a lot of... Yeah. All right. It was specifically from the mindset of...
I forgot until this minute.
Yeah. From the mindset of failing businesses that had a chance to rebound, we specifically sought mall-based brands. The brand had to be located within the average American mall, just like GameStop, a Nokia outlet, so forth. Ryan's selection of Build-A-Bear proved genius as its price increased by 229%. The line is hysterical. It's like you can watch as like malls are open, it goes fucking vertical.
Guys, I am disturbed by all these built bears.
There's so many goddamn bears were built at once.
This is, to me, by the way, just begging for a federal investigation. Someone at the SEC is going to go, why the hell's Build-A-Bear up 250%? And they're like, money laundering.
There's so many goddamn bears being built at once. I picture Obi-Wan landing on Kamino like, holy shit, look at all these bears.
Did the jealousy of Spencer to accuse my beautiful Build-A-Bear of committing financial crimes when all we're doing is bringing happiness to people and possibly letting people record sexts that they can send in teddy bear form?
Build-A-Bear, the most disturbing part of Build-A-Bear to me, the part where I can never make it past the entrance, may actually be Ryan's key to the game here. The bin of empty teddy bear skins that
husks
greets you at at the start of the assembly line.
Yeah.
I have personally never been able to stand. I have nieces, so I've been asked to Build-A-Bear more than once. I can't get past the empty skins, but you can stuff them shits with anything, I have to imagine.
I believe they're called relics.
For years.
What?
For years, whoa, we were told.
What in the Hobby Lobby hell?
For the Hobby Lobby, yes, perhaps.
For years, okay, the Epic of Gilgamesh was brought in through a stuffed bear. First, did we know before last week that the fucking Epic of Gilgamesh was among the Hobby Lobby artifacts?
Yes.
I did not.
This has been a phenomenal, years long journey, like literally an epic of its own, and I've been so excited for its thrilling conclusion. Yeah, like this has been boiling for a long, long, long time. Like,
I didn't know they had Gilgamesh, man. Yeah, God,
they keep finding it was purchased at auction, so they keep basically going back to things that Hobby Lobby purchased at auction and going, that's stolen.
Okay.
By the way, that's stolen. Go look up and there's whole other layers to this. We could do the whole episode about this, but holy fuck. Go look up the guy who sold this shit to them. That's a whole other epic. It's fucking amazing.
We'll have to have Matt Pierce from the LA Times on for his unbeatable headline from 2017, which was Hobby Lobby's Robbie Hobby, Hammurabi.
Yes.
So we're going to have him on to explain the entire path to us.
Let's note Spencer's biggest gainer, which, of course, a very smart pick, was high on my board as well, Lululemon. Under the conclusion, more people are going to be going outside, and they don't like wearing jeans anymore because they've been inside the whole time. My biggest gainer percentage-wise was Kohl's.
It's solid.
I had some explanation for this, but all right.
It's just Kohl's. You're just like, my mall stock.
I was just thinking about Taco Bell last time. You'll eat it. Kohl's is like the you'll eat it of stores.
I was actually on a separate note. I think I was inadvertently right about something else on Lululemon. During pandemic, everybody just wore athleisure. No formal clothes.
Yeah,
nothing.
During
not like,
the pandemic.
That's my might excuse.
Have,
yes.
Might have continued. Yeah.
Holly, your selection of the company that owns Bath and Body Works doubled in value for the listeners.
Hand sanitizer and candles.
So,
y'all ain't gonna smell good because we've been inside all the time.
Of our 12 selections, only one of them lost money, and it was only $1 per share. That was Holly's selection of Vitamin Shop. No one got any healthier. We didn't learn any lessons.
That was maybe too optimistic on my part.
percentage wise, Spencer, unfortunately, you came in last, but you still made money. All right, you still made money.
Yeah, I'm still up.
Wait,
still
so you're telling me we all made money?
Yes, all four of us individually made money. Spencer was up 43%, all right?
That's nuts!
Fucking large.
I'm in last place! That's bonkers! Yeah.
I was up 90%. Holly, you were up 136%.
I had Spencer's younger son helping me.
Ryan, powered by his army of robot bears, was up 326%.
You outperformed the market by like 290%.
Kay and Zales Jewelers also nearly doubled up for Ryan. Cheesecake Factory, only 3% increase. We were already eating Cheesecake Factory in the pandemic, it turns out.
Like how much higher could we even bump the Cheesecake Factory ceiling?
Can I just rephrase that and just say this? Cheesecake Factory still gaining in profits and making money?
Oh,
that's unreal.
the menu only grows. In terms of dollar amount, Ryan came in last, gaining the reader $52 if they only bought one share each. This is because Ryan bought value stocks, right? The play was buy lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of the stocks that Ryan recommended for you. Spencer, you made the listener $77 per haul. Holly, $138. And this is if they bought just one share of each of the recommended stocks, all right? Mm. This is a great return on investment. Because I went hard and grabbed Chipotle, which was by far the most expensive stock on our board. I brought the listener $466 in profits.
Wait, I'm second in... I'm Georgia. I'm second in both.
I mostly want to know if there's any listener who...
Yes, Ryan.
Invested any money in any of these stocks based on this episode.
Because
if they bought just one stock each,
it's now our money, right?
If you bought just one stock each, you made $735.
Fuck. is this how real people do this?
Business is easy. This is an addition to however many collective game stocks we bought and sold, right? Like,
we've collectively made
at least four figures of money off the stock market this year by putting zero effort into it. It's easy.
We were so giddy over this summer that at one point I gave Spencer control of my stock portfolio and was just like, yeah, do whatever. Just to see what he would do. This is how high we were on our own supply, and it turns out we were right.
It turns out you would have been better off trusting me, Jason, or yourself.
And you still would have made money.
it's like a mutual fund. All the risks and gains are overflowing and interlocked. You know,
did we just form a mutual? Is that a mutual fund? Are we a mutual fund?
I think so. because I think how it works is if you want to invest in up and comers, you know, you go with Ryan. If you want the big titans, you go with my selections, apparently. But they all mingle and economic.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I think the conclusion is just invest in mall stocks. Just that's the future is the
this
mall.
Is the future of America.
Yeah,
because like here's the all thing right. about malls. Here's the thing. I think I decided. Like we decided because like teenagers don't hang out at them anymore. That they're all failing and bad. What we failed to recognize is first of all, old people live at them, and secondly, teenagers like to go places where they can take pictures of each other. There are only some of these places. Malls have courtyards and fountains and shit. Teenagers mm-hmm. still go to the fucking mall.
Yeah, yeah. Also,
they're the only thing easier. The making money through mall stocks.
Acorns.com.
is making $5 right this instant by going
to
acorns.com/forecast. As you purchase these stocks, here's what you do. You buy a Build-A-Bear stock, and then you go to Build-A-Bear, all right, to support your own investment, to put money back in your pocket. You're doing
Make
that
sure
twice
Make sure to let
because,
them know that you're a stockholder.
Yeah, I demand only your top Bear Corps because I run this company. When you purchase that Bear Corps, the nickels and dimes from that purchase will go into your Acorns account and then be invested into the very market that you have already mastered. Acorns.com/fullcast.
It's legal double dipping is what it is.
I think it's triple dipping right there.
It's triple
you also
dipping
get a bear.
Because you also have a bear that gains value because it has a human soul inside.
Yeah.
Yeah, and $5,000 cash that's being laundered that you get to take a 10% cut
of. Again, these in unbelievable accusations against my company will not
Fuller
stand.
Fuller Souls Mayberry.
The SEC is investigating.
This is why I know.
Oh my God, we're going to get investigated by both SECs at once. I'm so excited.
This is finally awesome. We've been working on this for a long time.
I'm spending this entire time trying to think. Okay, we have to workshop this right now because I'm going to spend the rest of the episode trying to think up a name for our mutual fund, and I can't do it. It can't be named after Ryan because there are no E's or S's in his name, so we can't.
Can it just be Mall Feinbaum?
Thank you. See
God
there.
Damn
Thank
it.
You. Yes. God, and fuck you
fine,
for making it look easy.
Fine, as in fines that we will not be paying the SEC
that's
because
right
we have a lawyer. Because
you gotta find, bomb us first.
That's yeah, right. You gotta and bomb because it's a money bomb in your pocket.
Man, that was yeah. That was Clay Thompson and Quick from the Three. That was
Thank
just.
You. Thank you.
And the fact readers, you can't see it. Readers, you can't see it at home. He's running his hands through his hair right now, just casually.
Yeah.
You make me sick, Ryan. Thank
Bang!
You.
The holding the follow through.
Don't yeah worry. At the next Build-A-Bear shareholders meeting, where we all dress like bears, just so everybody knows.
Can you fucking imagine those people?
I like knowing that we live in a world where a bunch of rich people go to like Kansas City or something and sit in a fancy hotel room and they're like, "Let's talk about the profitability of bears. Let's talk about it."
I guarantee you, most of what they talk about is like which companies can we associate with because they always got some Pokemon or
That's
Star
true
Wars or whatever thing, right?
You can get
they partner with Home Depot and get me a goddamn Life-Eye skeleton?
I mean, yeah, just ask Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah.
He runs the company.
That one will definitely have human souls in it.
Thank you.
It
I would
to
appreciate that.
You're
I need
welcome
a snack.
Yeah. I really enjoy that there's got to be at one point in the Build-A-Bear history the moment where it was a boiler room setup, and somebody had to lean in really close to someone to be like, "Sell more bears.
Sell more bears, or you're fucking dead."
Yeah.
This is. There's also this very small subset of people. My father is one. My ex is another. Who get infuriated by places like this and like hot pot restaurants. Spencer, do you remember the first time you tried
Wait,
to take
like,
Doug
like Build-A-Bear and a hot pot restaurant?
Okay, no, listen.
Yeah, they have something
okay
in common.
No, I'm just making sure
they have something in common here,
okay,
and that is like it's kind of an ingenious business model. Their business model is you do our labor, and the first time we tried to take Spencer, you tried to take Doug to hot pot, remember? And you tried to explain it to him, and he's like, "I have to pay." He got real quiet. He's like, "Are you telling me I have to pay to make my own soup?"
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
Build-A-Bear has kind of the same repellence from my father, so I can't wait to tell him that I made imaginary money off this.
Boy, wait till these people find out about Home Depot, a literal place that is just Shh like, "Hey, you do it."
I want to do
Depot
this.
Home Depot, get your own fucking gazebo.
I want to do this with cars. Build a car. Hey, come build a car. Well, it'll only take you a month and a half.
That's that actually fun. I was going to say Volkswagen tried it making a name pun, but I guess Volkswagen really did try that, didn't they?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Hmm.
That's,
I mean, Tesla's kind of like, hey, you want to be a car tester? It's fun.
You're uploading data that's very important to ensuring the safety of the next person who buys one of these.
Whoa, you're like an early astronaut. Cool.
Whoa, that accident was pretty valuable data.
Don't look up what happened to them.
I say this like one person on this call has not made a reservation already for the electric F-150 truck.
That's different. That's got the big front.
That's got a live well in the front.
That's
mutual frunk. That's
going to
be our official
frunk.
Vehicle.
Do you know how many Build-A-Bears you can fit in the frunk of the electric F-150?
By God, buddy, we're going to find out.
That's right.
Especially if they're dead and deflated.
They're not dead. They're simply
they're not
unhoused.
Dead. They're pre-alive.
Yes.
The relics.
Right.
The relics.
I thought they were already dead.
Nope.
They're not yet alive. Okay. Yep.
So is the idea that they are turned round on the wheel of life empty of soul? Are we to assume that these bearskins are pre-lived?
They're journeying.
Bears?
Their souls are journeying through hell,
okay,
burning off the sins that they accumulated in life, only okay. to return to try once more to get
hey
to bear
kids,
heaven.
Step right up to the Dharma booth.
What is a sin for a bear?
Adultery, murder.
Same as ours. I don't, yeah. Why would it be any different? Cuss
yeah.
words.
Yeah. Covetous bear.
Yeah.
Lying to your parents.
Are you trying to slut shame a bear?
Yogi Bear is going to hell.
We're not.
I'm telling you.
We didn't, right?
No.
We
didn't.
No.
So you're saying right. there's a bear god out there?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Who's to say God did it? I mean, pastors, bear pastors.
Who's to say God's not a bear? Wouldn't it make a lot more sense if God were a bear?
I would say bears have a little bit of God in them, just
fish
like
fish and berries are really good, so I think there's a high chance.
See?
Yeah.
I think the bear diet has always appealed to me, obviously, because, you know, it involves anything you can get out of a dumpster, berries, and occasionally a human.
Oh,
you know?
Berries.
Yeah. I think it's a very fine what you eat kind of diet, and it seems very healthy to me.
Just like
also,
a boiler room.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Or a mall.
Just like a boiler room.
Cinched
anyway,
up for you.
Yeah, subscribe to our newsletter, Channel 7, which is our financial newsletter we're going to be putting out, where we only pimp the products of Mall Feinbaum Incorporated, our finances. This is more shutdown full cast business coming
like
at you.
Is there an S Corp that just has the money sign instead of the S? Can we make that? Ryan, is that a thing?
That probably is taken. I say that only because I know that Gene Simmons, like a dick, stole, I think, either the copyright or the trademark for a money bag with a dollar sign on it. Like, nobody had ever claimed that, so he was like, ha-ha, it's mine now!
He fucking sucks. He tried to copyright fucking Horns
yes,
Up.
Yes.
Like, dog, that's Italian from a billion years ago.
Gene Simmons is like an IP troll, basically.
Can you imagine... probably there are greater combos, but that's a pretty potent combination of people to upset is Texans and online Italians.
Ooh, no, thank you.
Wow.
Mm-mm. I've seen all y'all on Twitter. It ain't good.
I would like to first thank our financial advisor, Jason, for providing us with such lucid, clear, and important details about the performance.
Hey, Jason, did you put
all
our money in the bank yet? Is it in the vault?
Yeah, I better go check on it.
He's got to go.
Okay.
Yeah. I got to go catch a flight to check on our bank. That's where it is.
Yeah, the helicopter's waiting. I can hear it.
Yeah. If I'm not back in like half an hour, someone should probably come. Their money will be safe, I promise, but maybe okay. just check on it. Maybe.
Yeah, right. We still don't extradite from Venezuela. Just, you know.
Okay, bye, everybody.
Bye.
Goodbye, Coach Mac.
I assume he meant we, like, the three of us and Cerber.
I never extradite from anywhere. That's not my business.
I would. Hey. It's like a free trip. You got to think of it like that.
How often do federal agents just kind of linger and loiter on that?
Oh,
like
all the time. They make, like, 65 grand tops.
Yeah. Like, hey, did you find him today?
I think he's heading to Costa Rica, so I'm just going to wait.
Is it ever possible to really find another person?
At Build-A-Bear it is, because they're stuffed inside the bears.
That is a season 4 Nip-Tuck plot line.
And
That's
I'm already
real.
Scared. and I'm already
season
scared
five.
Of it.
Actually, no, it's the reverse of that. A crazy old lady in a Build-A-Bear knockoff store kills a dude with the stuffing gun. Like, she stuffs him. Huh. It's great. Oh, Ryan Murphy has always made normal television.
Huh. I'm so disturbed.
I think it's like, season four.
As with every episode of Nip Tuck, the most disturbing show ever made.
Season two finale of Nip Tuck is one of the most perfect episodes of television ever plotted in terms of just like pure mechanics.
I haven't seen Nip Tuck, so I don't have shit to say about it.
Just watch the first two seasons and then quit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't go after that. But watch the first two seasons, become as unnerved as a human being could possibly become by a fiction, like a fictional work of art.
Think again that this was Ryan Murphy's like second ever television show, right? He was only ever going up from there.
Yeah, like you're like, what if a show never chilled? What if a show never ever took a second
you
off?
They started it in Miami. What was your expectation?
That's the thing. It's actually, you're sitting there, you're like, man, this is weird even for Miami. This
Nip
is too
Tuck
much
was
even
incredible.
For Dade.
If you're listening to this in the now times and you watch like Billions, they very much have the same energy. Because like if the Billions guys made a medical show, I have to think it would be a lot like Nip Tuck.
Yeah, and everybody would be talking about like 70s rock bands when they make references.
When I can't wait to start. The day I turn 50, I'm going to start talking like a Billions character.
This gallstone's harder than AC/DC in 75.
76.
I have.
I wasn't even born. Goddamn, dude.
Speaking of hard, I have.
I don't like where this is going.
I don't either. Home field apparel. Soft. Let's steer it as far as possible in the opposite direction and talk about this soft and snuggly garments, mostly for the upper body, made by our longest running and, if I do say so, best looking sponsors at homefieldapparel.com. What was the latest school to receive that dusting of home field magic? Listen, it's USC, and you can look at it that in terms of wins and losses on the football field, or you can say USC got Clay Helton maybe partway out of the building, and they were rewarded by what I thought was a pretty substantial drop. I had never seen the tire biter design with the bite on shirt. That's sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Home field magic can't do everything. Like,
yeah, not even home field can keep you from keeping Clay Helton around for 7 years and a bit.
You could say any number and I would believe it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I say this like I haven't just dropped $5. Server bleep that amount out. And everyone else act horrified on, I think it was actually more like $5, but that's still bad, on West Virginia.
Oh, my
gear.
God.
Look, they dropped Tennessee and West Virginia back to back. What was I supposed to do?
The SC collection, though, it is sick. Absolutely
it's very
sick.
Good.
They have a couple of like 70s and 80s logos in there that really like I'd never seen before and are fantastic. I say that as somebody who I normally wouldn't wear a USC shirt, but man, that vintage Trojan head logo. I might have to wear that around, even though yellow makes me look even more jaundiced than I already look.
We talked about this in Full Cast After Dark, I think. I really hate that so many of their good logos are in that yellow shirt because it's just not my color. And I have like five of the shirts anyway.
Yeah, they look fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So home field apparel, comfortable. Stylish athletic wear from your.
You can get 20% off your first order at Home Field Apparel. If you've left it to now, we're a little suspicious of you, but thank you. By entering offer code FULLCAST at checkout.
Maybe
I'm almost positive.
Maybe somebody was waiting to cash in all their stonk money before they made their first purchase. And
get all
now,
your Build-A-Bear ducats in your bucket.
That's
and
right.
Head on down to homefieldapparel.com.
That's right.
Tell them Spencer sent you from the Bear God.
From the astonishingly prudish bear god.
Behold my ursine wealth!
I am indeed
let's,
the big
okay, let's,
bear
let's
doing things.
Let's talk about the voice of the bear god. Let's get into this here.
Sure. What does the bear god sound like?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tell me where you went with that.
What was your process, Ryan?
You know, I just sort of just do whatever pops into this stupid brain.
See, he's the biggest genius walking among us, and he keeps trying to make it look easy. Which, like, I get it. You have to keep yourself relatable to your legions of adoring fans.
Here's the good news. Mm-hmm. All of it feels hard all the time. And yes, that's, I know you, but what that sounded
but you
like.
But you don't, yeah. Speaking of hard, I'm going to take
anyway,
the segue no matter what.
Speaking of geniuses, we have a little bit of breaking news here on this Tuesday, September 28th, as we are recording.
Do we?
The MacArthur Genius Grants were announced today. And I had been offline for most of the morning. And for the past couple of years, you know, as people you know around media, around the arts, kind of get their feet set in the industry. We're getting to the point in life where people around our age are actually doing shit with their lives, which is wild. And so I took like a casual scan. I was like, okay, who have I heard of? Who's doing interesting stuff? And I click on the full list, and the top name on the newest class of MacArthur Genius Grants list is a former Fullcast guest.
That's right.
We have infiltrated the MacArthurs.
It's Roger Sherman. That's right.
Congratulations, Roger. And yeah, MacArthur Genius Grant.
It's not Roger.
I was all set to say that it was Godfrey and that everyone should congratulate him, but the prospect of Roger winning one is now so clear to me.
Oh, Roger's going to win a Grammy, I think. And like a confusing
for like
Grammy.
Spoken word, and he's going to marry Erica Badu.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God, did you know he actually did the guest verse on a Beyonce song? I don't know how it happened.
Roger, just a consummate performer. Yeah. Anyway, Hanif Abdurraqib, who came on very early in our, very early, was it this year? Was that really this year? Was it last year?
No.
I believe it was last year.
It was a Super Bowl preview. 2 years ago.
It was a Super Bowl preview.
I was still living in New York. So it was not this year.
Okay, good. That must be why they waited until now to give him the grant, because he's been a genius this entire time. But he came on to talk about, I think, Book Before Last at this point, to talk about his beloved Ohio football concerns. And I feel that we really only held him back, ultimately, in pursuit of the MacArthur. Also, Hanif is the kind of guy who, if you congratulate him on it and say it's well deserved, even though it will only embarrass him. He's kind of like Ryan in that way. He doesn't want it pointed out.
What if we go at him instead and we're like, that was ours, that should have been for us.
No, this is a genuinely nice person. Stop that, we can't be ourselves.
I just want to do what makes him comfortable. If he's not comfortable with praise, maybe he would prefer conflict.
That's a great.
You're saying he needs heal energy from us.
Maybe
that's what you say.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, because he is.
Are we going to be his venom?
Yeah, we'll be his carnage.
No,
that's right.
The next Venom movie's only 90 minutes long, and we could never keep it that short.
I'm sorry, it's 90 minutes long.
That is what I remember reading.
I believe
recently.
The first one was only
10 stars.
Yeah.
10 stars.
You know,
eat shit, Ridley Scott.
You know, a Marvel movie is going to be good when they're like, let's just keep this let's keep this real tight.
I was watching Peyton and Eli last night, and I saw my first trailer for whatever Ridley Scott has concocted with Matt Damon in a metal helmet, and the words "greatest epic" and Matt Damon flashed so closely to each other on the screen that I was like, "You didn't think this through," because it's just like, "Oh, it's Matt Damon in a weird metal hat."
Yeah, Venom: Let There Be Carnage runtime 97 minutes.
That's a full cast.
I bet it's gonna feel like 4 hours, though. You'll be like, "Was that only 97 minutes?" I swear, I watched Tom Hardy sit in a pen at a zoo and eat exotic birds for like 45 minutes straight during that.
Well, I like that we were like, you know what? I don't know. In the first one, maybe we let Tom Hardy be a little too Tom Hardy, and you're like, you know what? The solution is Woody Harrelson. That'll keep Tom Hardy in check.
Tom Hardy, who was a blogger in the previous Venom movie, lest we forget.
Yeah.
Anyway, congrats to Hanif, man. It is so well deserved. He's not going to listen to this because he's way too busy, and that's good because he would be embarrassed that we were talking about him for this long. But, you know, Jane Costin up there with a solo show at the New York Times, Hanif Abdurraqib, the full cast produces gold, is all I'm saying. Not from any of us, unless you buy our stocks. But we're the coaching tree from which all of modern media and art is springing, and I'm just glad that more and more of you are recognizing it. Thank you to the MacArthur Guild for their correct judgment.
and future Grammy.
And for only making
winner.
Him wait a few years after going on the full cast for all of that to wear off. We're sorry
yeah,
about
that. 2 years. That was our 2019 Super Bowl preview for those who want to go back and listen to us.
Ryan, you've only been gone from New York for that long?
An actual licensed genius.
Hey, it feels like you. I seriously, yeah. If you'd asked me to say when you moved, I would have said right after when Nora was born, which now feels like it was 8 years ago.
I'm 78 years old.
You're so
you look
spry.
Great. You look fantastic for 78.
I get a lot of sleep and I drink a lot of water.
Your pores are tiny.
I consume human souls via Build-A-Bear.
I stuff all my feelings in the empty bearskins where they belong.
Mm-hmm. Also, HGH and test. HGH and test. As Ronnie Coleman says, just the basics. Ronnie Coleman, weightlifting supreme, when they're like, what'd you do, man? What did you do? And he's like, oh, just the basics, you know, just HGH and test. That's all. It's like human growth hormone and massive amounts of testosterone. Yeah, you know, just the basics.
Okay, I have a real question. What would happen if I, a person who loves to sleep and hates to exercise, what would happen if I just took a bunch of steroids?
I think you just get puffy.
That's cool.
Yeah, you just get puffy. Like,
would
not
I become
a lot
like more buoyant? Is there like any kind of? I'm thinking from like a Smash Brothers perspective. Is there will
say,
any of
did
my
you say,
fighting?
Did you
will,
say
my fighting capabilities be increased? Yeah, could I like increase?
You, I couldn't tell if you said buoyant or bouillon.
Oh, buoyant. I would never increase my personal bouillon. I'm already tasty enough. No. I don't want to be. Are you trying to get me eaten by a bear,
no,
Ryan?
No. Well, I know Spencer wants to talk about.
You're
gonna
splay me out.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you want to hear some wild takes? Mm-hmm. I was about to ask you pointedly not to splay me out on an altar with my chest open. I was scrolling through the timeline today, and I made the conscious decision not to stop on this and go any further. So, if you guys go check out what this is, please don't tag me and report back to me. But I swear to God, I saw. And I don't know if this is a widely held academic thing, because this is very much not my field. So if this is well known, you can call me an idiot and move along. I saw somebody today, maybe it was today, I haven't really slept, tweeting that he was pretty sure the Aztecs had faked significant portions of their human sacrifice protocols. And I kept going because I was like, whatever this is, I don't want to know any more about it. And then I kept going. But the further I kept scrolling, I was like, that's an amazing flex on history.
By the way, if you take steroids and don't work out.
All right, we're back.
You will still gain muscle mass. You will still gain mass. Huh. In fact, in some cases, you will actually gain more muscle mass than those who are working out naturally. So that will happen. However,
Why doesn't everyone take steroids? They sound great.
I don't want to be the hater here. Spencer, from whence does this knowledge come that you're dispensing?
T-Nation. T-Nation, the finest resource on all things, both testosterone and anabolics related.
I trust this.
Sure.
In some cases, the person who's just taken roids will gain more muscle mass than someone who's working out, but the long-term effects, of course, past a certain window are dramatic and bad. Also, you'll gain a lot of water mass. Eventually your hormones will flip the other way, and you know, your health, they'll swing, and you'll get a whole bunch of estrogen, and then all sorts of crazy things start happening to your body.
So you just got to keep up. Oh, now I see how they get you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We've secured our financial future for that and our listenership, and I have learned how to use steroids. We have constructed a mutual fund, and Ryan has personified a new god. That's a good 45 minutes, guys. Happy Tuesday.
Yeah. No, we made a lot happen, and we're going to – and I think –
All
right, the way,
that's our show, everybody. No.
We did the ad reads, so.
He's going to keep talking. All right.
I'm going to keep talking. Because this week,
it's a beautiful
this week
day out. Look behind me. It's a beautiful day outside.
You know, it's going
to
be a beautiful day when Auburn plays
like,
LSU on Saturday.
To the bank. All right. We can talk about football.
No, we're going to talk about Auburn LSU because it's Tiger Bowl week.
Tiger Bowl.
Between Auburn and LSU, like two teams that have their own dysfunction, their own brand of dysfunction. And then when they play each other, it becomes this like horrible kind of hairy buffalo of concoction thing nastiness.
Oh, it's
funk.
it's every contrived like Thanksgiving television episode where both your divorced parents showed up mm-hmm. at the same time. That's Auburn LSU.
It's that episode of Modern Family. Shelley Long. Yeah, that's it is completely that episode. It is also the rivalry that really does not, of course, doesn't exist because remember Auburn, they're fully booked up. They don't have any, you know, there's they have the oldest rivalry, which is with Georgia, which is basically kind of like we were friends in kindergarten. So our parents keep making us go on play dates, even though one of us is goth and one of us is a jock. And we really don't have anything in common anymore.
Auburn is goth?
Absolutely not. No, neither one of them. I was pulling an example which was not entirely pertinent to the case, Ryan.
I like going with Auburn as goth, personally. That's fine.
That's goth fine. Deer hunting. Can I get real tree? But, you know, the blackest real tree. The darkest real tree.
That's Batman. You're describing Batman now. That's,
we've come to this conclusion several times in this podcast that there is at least an Auburn Batman, and I just made him again. So I can only infer that he's real mm-hmm. from everything that we've seen.
Yep.
This is also a rivalry where LSU doesn't necessarily believe that Auburn is a rival because, as stated many times by LSU fans, we don't have rivals. LSU doesn't have rivals.
I mean, they do. It's just everyone, everywhere, all of the time. Themselves,
gravity,
people, schools that don't even have football programs,
mm-hmm.
like the Aztecs Holly was speaking of earlier. They're probably like, yeah, fuck the Aztecs.
I found the thread.
Okay.
Man, I'm gonna follow this dude. This dude's Twitter name is Reverend Howard Arson. That's an outstanding name.
Good night,
man.
He said, I genuinely think that the Aztecs faked a substantial amount of their sacrificial culture. This isn't a joke. This is apparently real. I mean, that he at least appears to be serious. I don't know this person. Anyway.
So they're
Howard.
Cheating. So that's
Howard
Auburn.
Yeah.
David, I mean, I know fuck all about this. He said, but he's making good points, which seems, I want to actually read about this now.
Knowing fuck all about something has never been a barrier on this show, and it never will be.
Mm-mm. I just think it's got a very college football energy because part of the argument here is that the Aztecs were really over bragging in their art about all the murder they did, and they can't find enough skull racks and mass graves to back up that claim.
That basically this is LSU fans being like, I'm gonna walk up to Montezuma's face and call him a bitch.
See, you see where I was trying to bring this back around. Thank you. Anyway.
Yeah, because LSU, if they get the launch codes, they're firing in all directions.
Now somebody else is arguing that the Spanish exaggerated the numbers for anti-pagan propaganda. This is
I feel like the Spanish had more effective means of anti-pagan propaganda for whatever it's worth.
That's rather than being...
I feel like saying, the Aztecs, they're very mean. I feel like they had several other programs.
This is a very good way of putting it. This is a very good way of putting it down here. Pyramid of Skulls is great PR, but raises a lot of not easily answered logistical questions.
You know what it is? It's like when somebody shows a stack of money on Instagram, and you're like, oh, well, most of that is just like fingernails and, you know. It's not all skulls. It's not all skulls. It's just skulls on the outside. Like,
what do you think money is?
You've got some sacrificial filler in there, and we're suspicious.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, man, now, okay, if anybody knows anything good to read about this, because now I'm reading in this thread about Sumerian murals bragging about implausible genocides. I really want to read about historical civilizations that have convinced scholars that they were way more about it than they actually were, because they just like talking about killing people, because we're talking about LSU.
That's the thing, because it's old, because it's that old. You could just be like, yeah, there was a whole group here, and we fucking wiped them out because we're awesome.
And this is, you know, see, we kind of, in this post-truth era, we kind of have the same thing going now, right?
So you're saying,
like, oh, hey,
LSU
I have
can
more
make
money
up,
than I do. Well, that's your opinion.
LSU can make up an SEC school that once existed until they were wiped off the face of the earth by LSU.
Okay, I went far enough this thread
Tulane.
So that I went far enough down in this thread to where the word psyops entered, and now I'm backing out of it very quickly.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. a good, yeah.
Hey, Internet, if you know anything, please don't tag these people, Internet. I don't know them. They seem perfectly nice, but if you have any good reading on, like, ritual sacrifice and Civilization's bragging about murder. It's for work.
Yeah, send it to 38 Godfrey.
Let me know.
No, just, she wants this one directly, I think.
No, I want this for a bit of light holiday reading. That's all. I'm looking for books, to be clear, not skulls. You can send me skulls in the mail.
I want to. Don't send me skulls in the mail. The full cast.
It got to a point when we were working on the Paramount lot at MTV that whenever I got a piece of mail, at least one of three people would say, is it a human head? And I think that's a great professional legacy to leave behind me.
So, I would like to go ahead and also be the history professor who actually says, okay, folks, here, I want you to know.
Settle down. Enough skull talk, kids. Let's focus.
This is reasonable. It says, like, in societies which claim to be cannibals, this is very frequently a sort of ritualized boast meant to threaten neighbors, not like a thing people regularly did. That's kind of a bummer, but also I understand it.
I mean, I want to be the history professor who's like, understand all of the materials I'm giving you. We have played up the violence so that you'll be entertained, right? Just come out and, like, pre-movie, pre-cinema-ize your own source material and be like, I'm going to fudge the numbers by about a factor of, like, 30. That's fine. Just to keep you interested, okay? Understand the words coming out of my mouth are merely a representation of the history in order to keep you engaged. Anyway, 400 pyramids of skulls, each 70 feet high. Everybody's doing the math. They're like, that's only like three pyramids of skulls, really.
God. Somebody else in the thread makes a very good point that pyramids are big and throwing people off the top of them would be a lot of work. And then it would be a lot easier to just point up to them and say, yeah, we threw 100 guys off there last week, man. You should have been here.
What about a ziggurat?
I just feel a lot closer to the Aztecs than I expected to feel on this day.
Sure. The first person who got thrown
Ryan,
off the
you
ziggurat.
Always bring it back to Hammurabi. Every
has
it, time.
Has
every
anybody time. Ever been murdered at the Memphis Pyramid? That has to have happened, right?
That's surely somebody has at least drowned. Let's find out. Hang on.
Ow.
So while Holly looks up, has someone been murdered at the Memphis Pyramid? I don't even know what that does to your search history.
It's mysterious past.
I want to address, by the way, the issue of throwing someone off a ziggurat. There is no throwing someone off a pyramid, really, because they're not going to roll. The angle's not up. It'll be
they're
like, aha!
Slide.
And then they'll just
escape. Yeah, you're going to have to throw them so far laterally.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is that they're just going to kind of flop, and then you're going to have to poke them with the corpse poking stick all the way down the pyramid. You know, like the unintentional comedy of that moment to me. That's really,
I'm
that's
kind of, okay,
that's why
now
I
feel like they have to be covering up murders if there aren't any. There's a shooting range and an archery range. And at one point there was a crystal skull in this thing and nobody's died.
Where's the crystal skull?
Maybe you can't die in the Memphis Pyramid.
Oh, the crystal skull was removed. That was kind of the point.
I want to know the whereabouts of the crystal skull. And does Dan Aykroyd
have
it?
You never heard this story? Okay, no. Sorry. I'm going to read. Hang on. I just pulled the first link I could find on this. Just stay with me because it gets really funny and then it gets even funnier at the end. Just hang on. I know that it crackles when I do things.
Yeah. We will, by the way.
All right, here we go. So this was right after the pyramid opened. Okay, so just stay with me here and you'll understand why I'm asking you to stay with me. According to Tom Jones, a consultant with Smart City Consulting in Memphis.
Smart City. Not Dumb City. Don't hire those guys.
Workers discovered a black metal box at the apex of the pyramid, riveted to the building's steel infrastructure. Inside, they found a crystal skull, which had been placed there by Isaac Tigret, founder of the Hard Rock Cafe restaurant chain. Wow. According to him, the skull was only one of several crystal and mystical objects placed throughout the building, though others have never been found. In a blog post, Jones describes Tigret's reaction to the removal of the crystal skull. "You don't have any idea what you've done," he quotes him as saying, while going on to claim that the cosmic balance of the Earth may have been disrupted by the removal of the skull, which city and county officials were later told had materialized in his hands.
What year was this?
This is right after the pyramid opened.
I don't remember when it opened.
90-something.
Shoot, 91.
Okay. I will be very delighted if it turns out that the Hard Rock Cafe is like where the Knights Templar are now operating and sort of waging religious war on behalf of God. It would explain sort of like the distribution, like why there's one in Rome and Paris and shit. It's like, oh yeah, the cafe is merely a front. We're here to like kill Dracula and shit.
And that actually that suit that belonged to Elton John, that's mystical armor.
It's mystical, God's mystical peacock armor.
And it's God's mystical peacock armor, which I would believe. I would be like, I knew it. I knew it.
Did we talk at all about the, you remember the dark sarcophagus that people were petitioning to drink from
with
a couple
liquid.
Years ago?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Do you remember what happened?
You remember that sarcophagus liquid?
Hey, you remember how we're all two online, right?
Spencer, you don't get to make fun of this because I have a commemorative mug from this in my office right now. That you've
seen. The worst part is I know what you're talking about. You're like, you know the sarcophagus fluid? Yeah, when everybody wanted to drink?
Satan's broken icy machine. Go ahead.
Yeah.
So, do you guys remember when it was discovered? I'm sorry.
No, I don't.
Do you guys remember when it was discovered? And there was a guy from the Secretary General of Egypt's Antiquities Ministry was like, and this was 2018, remember? And he was like, listen, I was the first one to stick my entire head in this. And as you can see, nothing bad has happened. And this is 2018. And we're all like, dude. And I just want to say, look at what's happened since. And I hope you're happy.
Mm-hmm.
Secretary.
Mm-hmm.
LSU won a national title shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
Makes you think, doesn't it?
Ryan, if our theory is correct, and this indeed is the restaurant chain where the Knights of the Templar move to battle, I want you to know that several important portals of spiritual importance in this war against evil are Myrtle Beach.
That's right.
Tampa.
Den of Sin.
Macau. the Foxwoods. Casino and Resort.
Yeah.
Gatlinburg.
Grand Cayman.
Istanbul.
Niagara Falls, Canada.
Sure.
Figures.
Memphis, which I believe. I totally
believe. Wait, which one?
Our Memphis.
Okay.
Our Memphis. Cozumel, again.
Yeah. This all tracks.
Yeah. And
like if you go, I bet if you go to one of these, you might randomly get like Paul Bettany all like shaved down and pale skinned offering you appetizers.
Okay.
Yeah. And of course Myrtle Beach.
You said Myrtle Beach first.
I'm saying it twice, whatever. Myrtle, I'm
maybe they have two locations at Myrtle Beach, which would be
I would also I would believe that as well. There was
so much spiritual warfare that we needed a second. Please go ahead.
I'm trying to think of what would be the funniest thing to plant in the pyramid. Brian, this could be a use for the discovery we made last night. That I made last night and bothered you with. Okay, Spencer Serber, tell me if you think this is funny. Because okay. I made a discovery last night on the internet that I laughed about for, I want to say, a good 45 minutes. And I can't really tell you why it's funny, but it's just ridiculous to me. And I can't think of the person in my life who I can best irritate by foisting this on. It is possible to buy, in bulk, individually wrapped jelly beans.
Like jelly bellies.
This is jelly bellies. Like a 5-pound bag of jelly bellies that are individually wrapped.
Yep.
I feel like there's a specific type of person that I could drive insane with this, but I can't think of who.
Wouldn't be me, because I'd eat them. I'd just be like, well, whatever.
Would you unwrap them?
Most of the time, yeah. I might figure out a way to shuck them like sunflower seeds, right?
Sunflower seeds came up because the ensuing discussion was, okay, what would be the worst individually wrapped snack? And I think we settled on raspberries because it has to be something that you can't get out of the wrapper without just
also,
demolishing.
They go bad so fast they'd just be rotting in the wrapper. You'd be like, this is stupid. This is the stupidest fucking thing.
Anyway, trick or treat, here's an individually wrapped jelly bean.
There's old cheap nanny up there on the hill with his individually wrapped jelly beans.
They say his spirit still walks these halls.
Do you know you can buy one chicken nugget at Chick-fil-A? One.
What?
Yeah, they will sell you one chicken nugget.
Is that Alyssa... just for people like us who feel bad about going there?
Alyssa, I think so. Alyssa Lang found that out. She was like, can you just buy one chicken nugget? Somebody on Twitter was like, you can absolutely buy one chicken nugget at Chick-fil-A.
What's more
with
Methodist
the receipt
than going just the tip? Yeah. Yeah, this tracks. Wow. What? Wait. It's been 30 minutes. Has anybody heard from Jason?
No. No. None of us have. I think you better go after him.
I got to go check on him.
Yeah. Go check on him.
All right. Go if find I'm not coach- back in 30 minutes.
End the show?
We'll end the show.
End the show.
So she's off to go find out if Jason indeed blew the safe or if he needs... Or if we need to go have a little sort of mini heat rescue, if we will. Heat, or as I call it, dumb heat. The dumb version of heat is heat. Heat is a dumb movie. I am one of one person's who thinks this, and that it's not actually that exciting for Robert De Niro and Al Pacino to be on the screen at the same time. Like, that may have been exciting in, like, 1978, but by the time that happens, we're fully into... Al Pacino, who, by the way, fully transforms into insane Al Pacino in this movie, where Al Pacino's tone from scene to scene varies wildly. I think it looks like he's in like four different movies as four different characters. And that's before he does the great ass scene.
Counterpoint, Val Kilmer with a ponytail.
How many adult dudes, by the way, did you know post-pandemic or during the pandemic grew ponytails? I know at least four. Who were like, fuck it, man, let the pony go.
Yeah, I can think of three. Yeah. But I gotta be honest. They're all making it fucking work.
They're killing it. They're killing it.
There is nobody who has gone that route who I'm like, I don't know. Because I think other people, like, there was a little while where I let my hair grow just to be like, I don't know, let's see. And after maybe 6 weeks, I was like, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
What does that even look like on you?
It just sort of gets poofed. It's not good.
Do you just get an afro? No, or do you get like do you get Beethoven hair?
Yeah, Beethoven is probably the better way to put it. Yeah. Yeah. The dog. We're talking about the famous movie dog, yes?
Yes. Is there another one?
There's not.
I'm not aware.
There is not.
But yeah, all the old, especially the older the guy who did this, the more I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Let it rock. Like, I saw an old guy with a ponytail today in a Dragon Ball Z shirt. And I mean old guy. I mean a guy who was like 60 plus. And he had the yoga teacher pony, like, back here.
Yeah.
And it was like close to top knot, but angled just far enough back, right? And I also he had a gigantic Goku shirt on for Dragon Ball Z. And I was like, California's crazy. Like, in California, a 90-year-old man can dress he's 15,
his name,
and it's like
Chip Kelly.
Yeah, Chip's livid. Really like Goku. Really like his offense. Really like how aggressive he is.
Really,
you know?
Like this ponytail.
Yeah, love his ponytail. Love his hair. The whole thing he does. You know, when he comes out for the third quarter and goes, yeah.
What did you want to say about LSU Auburn?
I have like a whole like.
Now that half the podcast
this...
is left, please go ahead.
It's time.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about exactly how messed up this entire rivalry not only recently has been, but historically how overly dramatic and messy this game has been.
Okay.
All right, off the top of your head, before we go over any of this, just pick one. I know you probably have one in your head where you're going, oh yeah, that was extremely jacked up.
Well, I have two.
Okay.
There's an LSU, maybe the last time they played in Baton Rouge, or maybe one of the last two times, where I want to say LSU, one of them had a big lead and just pissed it away in the second half.
Yep, I got you. But
I think that was Auburn who wasted that lead.
Mm, that is correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
And the other one that I'm thinking of is probably like 5 years old at this point. It's where Les Miles is coaching for his job. It looks like LSU has scored the game-winning touchdown, but in fact, they have fucked up the clock because that's everything about his time there, at least on the football field. And Auburn wins. And I think Les gets fired like 3 days later or some shit.
Okay, so those are a pair of games. Those happen back to back.
Oh, good.
That is, yeah. So that was just 2 straight years of this rivalry, if you sample it, right? If you're looking at the rings of this particular tree and you go, wow, this is struck by a lot of lightning. And then more lightning. Wow, this, like, lightning loved this tree. That is what you would see in the ring record of this rivalry. Because the games that you are talking about, 2016, Auburn 18, LSU 13. Yeah. That was when Les Miles ran out of time because Danny Etling snapped the ball with zeros on the clock. If he hadn't, there's a real good chance Les might not have been fired.
Yeah.
All right, if they had managed to pull this off. Because he throws a wild pass to DJ Chark in the end zone for what looked like a TD, but on review had been thrown after zeros hit. How Auburn is this victory? It is so Auburn that that 18 happened because they hit 6 field goals. 6 field goals. Good. That's how Auburn wins this game. The other game you were referencing was 2017, Ed Ogeron's first year in the building, LSU 24, Auburn 23. Auburn blew a 20-0 lead. They came in 3-0, and they blew a 20-0 lead, and they left with Auburn fans chanting for what? Gus is firing. Yeah. Gus is firing for blowing a 20-0 lead.
But I know these are, like, comparatively, like, it's an LSU-Auburn game where the old, what is it, the old basketball arena burns to the ground in the middle of the game, right?
1996. That is correct. That is the night the barn burned down. Where, okay, so it's the athletic center behind, right? Jordan-Hare. And so it's actually not, I mean, it's close, but it wasn't close enough to get anyone to panic or move or, you know, there would be any danger to the stadium, which is just a big old block of concrete anyway.
This is the most LSU thing you've ever said. Like, yeah, that building fire is close, but it's not that close.
Okay. No,
calm
down. I'm saying this for a reason.
Okay. Sorry.
2 reasons, actually. One, I think fire's cool. It's fine. Nobody should just walk by it. It's cool. You're not, it's not going to hurt you. You what? Are you going to go run into it? No, it's fine. It's just hot. Everything's hot down here. That's fine. No, just walk by it. Take a picture. The reason I do is because there's this classic shot that silhouettes fans who were on the breezeway walking up, and it silhouettes them behind a raging fire where it looks like they're 2 feet from it. And everyone will go, oh my God, that looks so dangerous. And it is cool. It is like the single most heavy metal image in the history of the Southeastern Conference. Unfortunately, it is, you know, not quite as dangerous for my purposes because you're like, ah, hell yes, praise Satan. No, it's not. It's not as dangerous as it looks. It's still pretty fucking metal.
Who won? I have no idea who won that game.
Oh, I'm so glad you asked, because that game is LSU is leading. And they are up, I believe, 17-7 over Auburn as Auburn roars down the field with in the last 2 to 3 minutes of the game. They score, making it, I believe, oh no, it was, I'm sorry, it was 17-7. Yeah. So I will get my math wrong here. It ends up 19-15. Auburn needs to convert a 2-pointer to tie at 17-8.
It must have been 17-8.
It was 17-8, which again, fucking Auburn. Why are you?
Oh, no, no. It was 17-9.
So they're weird scoring like crazy here, right? 17-9. They drive down. They score. They need a 2-pointer to tie. And instead of throwing the game tying 2-pointer, LSU returns it all the way back for a 2-point conversion to finish it 19-15. So in a game where one of the crucial plays was a 2-point conversion returned for the other way for two by the defense, that comes in second to the goddamn athletic center burning to the ground. And my favorite was looking this up was Billy Gomila. I cannot pronounce his name correctly.
It's no. Fine. We love you, Billy.
LSU fan extraordinaire reminding everybody, no, an LSU fan did not set that fire.
That's what you would say, though, right?
Mm-hmm. That is what you would say if you had set them. I'm just going to point that out. There's more. There's more, though.
Good. Please.
All right. Historically speaking, it's always been that way. 1908, a 10-2 LSU victory. Auburn's T.C. Locke blocks a punt. It's recovered by LSU quarterback and Hall of Famer Doc Fenton in the end zone for an Auburn safety. According to one source, Fenton was knocked unconscious by a spectator's cane as he tried to get out of the end zone.
So that's a thrown cane, probably.
That's not a cane. That's a whooping stick.
Yeah, yeah. That's a javelin at that point.
That's a staff. That's somebody. That is a Friar Tuck staff, right?
It's, like, it stops being a medical device when you're using it to attack someone, I think is a fair distinction.
Unless people in 1908 in the South were walking around with like lead inside their canes, like, oh, it's just an old man's
probably
cane. Bam!
Like every white dude in the South at that point was basically the Penguin, so.
Yeah. I do declare. These hands are so flippy and so floppy. I did post about this on Twitter, but like in the Murdaugh's case, the South Carolina murder case that's just gotten weirder and weirder and weirder and weirder. Their great grandfather had been was killed by a train coming back from a poker game late at night, and I'm like, I can't. How do you beat that?
That's I like it because you phrase it in such a way that I picture like a Who Framed Roger Rabbit train like pulling up and shooting him in the gut.
Actually, the way it's written,
it might be
like the train, like the train has just got him in like a sleeper hole. Like, go to sleep, old man.
Christopher Lloyd says goodnight.
Big Iron's got this. That was the 1908 game, which, you know, where evidently people were close enough to wallop upon the heads of players from the stands with
this
loaded
canes.
This
is, for the record, why I like when like fucking Doug Gottlieb is like, oh, if you're going to turn college players into pros, people are going to start treating them that way and booing them and saying, people have been mean to college athletes for a fucking century, my dude. Where there was no hands off before this. Shut up.
No, no. People have been beating each other up over this for a century. They've never been decent.
Oh, it's just amateur sports. I'm not going to have a big fit about it. Oh, honey, it's just my amateur sports.
It's just my amateur sports. 2 hours later, I knocked him out with my cane. With my little penguin hands. I would 1988. This is the earthquake game. The earthquake game. That would be the game where with Auburn leading 6-0. Again, Auburn with the fucking field goals. God damn. Why are you so unwatchable sometimes?
That's what they do, man.
Leading 6-0. Just sit on that, boys. You know Pat Dye was like that. We got a 6-0 lead. Go ahead. Take that to the bank. Well, you can't.
I will pay you next week for a hamburger today.
Wimpy ass offense. And by that, I don't mean weak. I mean wimpy, as in the character who craves nothing but conned ass cheeseburgers.
Hamburger futures.
Hamburger futures. Yet another financial innovation from the shutdown forecast. And our financial arm, Mal Feinbaum.
That's right.
1988 LSU 7, Auburn 6. Tommy Hodson throws a pass with under 2 minutes to go to running back Eddie Fuller. That is the lone TD of the game on fourth and goal. Because remember, 7 is more than 6.
That's a pong ass score right there. Where you're like, yeah, this is fun. This is what we did for fun. Back then, we didn't have your fancy Game Boy Color with your 20 points, with your 18 points. We had 7 points. We had a great time.
Wait, we knew when to use them. I didn't use them at the.
We were thankful for our 7 points.
We did. We took 7. We set off seismographs. We're like, woo, a touchdown! This was the game that I think essentially puts the like capper on the monument that is the mythos of Tiger Stadium and Death Valley at night, because they set off seismographs in the LSU Geological Survey Department.
Good.
And yeah, So it's very real. Actually happened. And if you were cheering that loudly for touchdowns, it gives you an idea of how dire the state of offense was once Steve Spurrier came into the SEC. They're like, he scored 28 points. God damn.
He's a harlot. I don't like him.
That is a whoresome number.
I bet he kisses his wife on the mouth.
That's ungodly. That's unchristian to score 28 points.
In my house, in another man's house, no less.
Not even in a human house, in a tiger house. He went to the tiger's house and scored 7 points. How dare he?
So what is the psychological assessment of these two programs? Because it is important to call them programs.
Programs, yeah, because remember, if you watch Will Hall, my cousin, address the Southern Miss media, he said, won't. that's what you want when you're trying to build a program. Yeah, don't trust a coach if he says program. No,
yeah, that's right.
It's a program.
If you can hear but, that a bad coach.
Yeah,
bad and coach. So where, like, for whom is this going to be more unpleasant? Is, I guess, my question.
Okay, so this, I can go back to the history on this because it'll help me answer it, okay? Because this is an odd year, and it being an odd year, naturally odd equals Baton Rouge. That is where this game is being played. I'm going to take you back to the beginning of a certain streak that involves a certain dumbass who is now in an even less virtuous, more scandalous, and dirtier industry than college athletics. In 1999... Auburn defeated LSU 41-7 in one of Jerry DiNardo's final games as coach at LSU. That 41-7 blowout was capped by Tommy Tuberville. Tommy Tuberville smoking cigars on the field at LSU with his players. That's the last time Auburn beat LSU in Baton Rouge was 1999 with Tommy Tuberville, now a United States Senator, playing on the field at Baton Rouge. That's the last time they won in Baton Rouge.
Huh.
Yeah. Since then, I believe it is an 8-13 record for Auburn in this, and they haven't beaten them since in Baton Rouge. They have come painfully close on several occasions, but this whole streak started for LSU in the next meeting in 2001 when Auburn, fresh off of the cigar smoking in Baton Rouge, claimed their territory by stomping on the logo. They stomped on the logo. And Auburn's buses, when they pulled in, were hit with rocks and rocked by masses of LSU fans, shaking them back and forth. I'm going to read this from the Montgomery Advertiser summary of that game. They hit halftime, and usually the kickers come out just before the rest of the team to get a couple of practice kicks in. The LSU band had gone long, and they were still on the field. This was official, by the way, because LSU later had to issue a statement that, yes, the band took too long, in an apology to Auburn kicker Damon Duval, famous among Florida fans for giving the chomp after hitting a game-winning field goal in the Swamp. Fair game. You could do that when you hit a kick that good. It was fantastic. From the Montgomery Advertiser. I'm just going to read this, and you're going to catch up on the context. One of the little guys hit me with his tuba. That just set me off. I ended up pushing him. Looking back now, of course, 2020, I was young. Had a little different attitude then, Duval recalled this week. It was a recipe for a disaster to start, but they were saying stuff. And when I got hit with the tuba, I kind of lost my cool a little bit. So Damon Duval got into a fight with two members of the LSU band as they were coming off the field at halftime.
Good.
And good. LSU, captained by the immortal Rohan Davey, won 27-14, got their revenge, and set a Baton Rouge winning streak that continues to this day. And by the way, their luck in Baton Rouge, has been brutal. This would be 5 field goals in 2005 that went awry for a single kicker, John Vaughn. 5 went awry for Auburn kicker John Vaughn. They sent him out there for a fifth. I remember watching this, and they sent him out there for a fifth, and I'm like, no! Nobody. John Vaughn never misses a fifth field goal. Actually,
cruel.
He did.
Just cruel.
Yeah. So I think so for LSU, I think this is very much a we don't lose this game. Like, I think if you've been going that long, this is not, you're not insecure about this at all. This is very much a, I'm extremely motivated and committed to that. And I only say that because Auburn, in complete disarray at this point, coming off of a struggle win / covert loss to Georgia State. That's one of those games that is a covert loss.
But who saved that game for them?
That would be former LSU quarterback.
That's right, TJ.
Yeah. Yeah,
and,
TJ Finley.
And I think the most LSU-Auburn thing that could happen in this game would be for TJ Finley just to light them the fuck up.
See, you and I are on the same page here that the most the most Auburn thing to happen in this game would be for Auburn to come out and win 2017.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, 22-17.
Yes.
Let's get a weird... It's got to be 19-17.
With 20 and a half, they just did. They got just a half a point.
Just, see, that's
they,
what
they
happened.
They kicked an extra point, and it just got stuck in the crossbar. So they gave him half a point, and it's still there, like
yeah,
a big mouth Billy Bass just plastered to the field goal.
Did you happen to actually watch the tail end of that Auburn Georgia State game?
I mean,
TJ Finley in there.
I caught up on it, and I did catch up as well on, I think it was the Auburn receiver saying like, "Oh yeah, that play was super broken." That's yeah. not how that play was supposed
That's
to go.
That's not how that play goes at all. Yeah. He was anybody who thinks that they've solved anything with TJ Finley. And to be clear, I'm just making this person up because I don't think there's an Auburn fan out there who's like, yeah, we got this. No, that dude was pressed. He was running for his life back there. The game winning TD was a busted play. The pass that got them down there was an incompletion that they were awarded. And if you flashed over Auburn fans in the stands when they were like, that's a completion, the look on their face is not woohoo. The look on right. their face is what? okay. whatever, dude.
This is a slot machine? I thought this was a self checkout. What?
Is this supposed to say a $500,000 jackpot? That seems like too much.
That's a lot.
So the end of that game, Auburn pulled it out of their ass, and not in the good way of like, ha, brilliant improvisatory playmaking. No.
Yeah, sure.
He completed one pass falling down. Like, I watched TJ Finley came out of the pocket, had a guy around his ankles, was falling, and the ball just sort of flew out of his hand into a running back for a first down.
What is the... All right, here's how I think this game will actually go. I think LSU is going to jump out to a comfortable lead. And then yeah. Auburn is going to do enough to scare them. Where everybody leave, where Auburn fans, after the loss, are like, God damn it, if we could just put together not even four, but 2.5 good quarters, maybe we could actually compete. And LSU has to be like, everything's fine. Everything's totally fine. Don't look back there. Don't look in the garage. The house is clean. That's the important thing. There's definitely not bones in the garage. Why would you say that?
Officer, would you like coffee?
And not bones.
Yeah,
again,
not bones, no.
We don't have any bones here. It's
LSU. Why am I stirring this coffee with a knife?
With a bone.
Oh, with a bone.
Yeah.
This goes in the long... By the way, chances Brian Harsin makes a problem for himself in the next week. I can see this, by the way. If TJ Finley comes out and he just absolutely like shits a boot, right? Yeah. Like if he just is terrible for a half, who goes back in? Bo Nix comes back in.
Bo Nix.
Yeah. If Bo Nix comes in at and any results, they're all bad for this. They're God, all bad.
Bo Nix beat Bama. That's a thing that happened in our recent lives.
Yes, sir. Yeah, don't take that away from him.
Like, I think in retrospect, they should unfire Gus for beating Bama with Bo Nix. Like, talk about putting the difficulty settings up to the hardest possible level.
That is, they'll get down like 17-0.
Yeah.
Or 21-0. And then will Brian Hartson let TJ Finley learn, you know, get comfy, see if he can deal with the adversity? I don't think so. I have no faith in him not making problems for himself. He's going to go ahead and put Bo Nix in.
You know, the other thing is we're going to get to watch sort of like, I don't want to say the off-brand version of this game, but something kind of like sort of the the regional touring production version of this game when Michigan plays Wisconsin at noon.
Like, yeah.
That has the same level of like, I guess Michigan is LSU in this scenario and Wisconsin is Auburn. And it's just going to be, whew, yeah.
This game is, there are several editions of this game. Now, there are thrillers we did not mention along the way because we've got many, many choices. I think your favorite, if I'm going to be the sommelier of Tiger Bowl futility for you, would be 2006, a game you may remember as 7-3. In the year of our Lord, 2006, two teams that gave up on offense completely. Auburn won with 153 yards of total offense.
Yeah, man.
153 yards of total offense for the winning team. This was also the 2007 edition of this was Flynn Bird. Demetrius Bird catching a TD with 4 seconds. The ball left his hand, left Flynn's hand with 4 seconds on the clock, even though at that point, LSU just needed a field goal to win because it was 24-23. But Les Miles was like, fuck it! And they won the game 30-24 when they didn't have to. This is also a week after they lost to Kentucky and avoided becoming a 3-loss team and thus became our first 10-2 national champion. By getting LSU! LSU!
Thank you, Arkansas. Arkansas.
Thank you, Arkansas. By the way, I also wanted to read this fine quote.
Yeah.
This LSU team, along with Kentucky, gave Auburn in their championship season 2010 their tightest run, and yet Les Miles managed to botch it again because he opted to go for it on 4th and 6 from LSU's 30 after calling a timeout with 3:27 left. And this is from the newspaper report, the AP summary of the game. The Tigers still seemed unsure of what they wanted to do on the pivotal play. Jarrett Lee, the passing portion of his team's quarterback tandem, tried to scramble for the first down, but was stopped well short by Nico Thorpe. When asked about it, Miles said the decision was not close at all. That's peak Les Miles when you get
that's Jarrett what you
Lee.
Want to hear after a disaster, right? First thing I want to say about this plane crash, I would do it again. I would do it the next 10 times if you asked me.
It's everything I want, man. It's everything I need.
God.
I counted on Jarrett Lee to scramble. The only thing more dangerous would have been counting Jarrett Lee to throw the ball. Because if you remember, the dude was a pick six machine. So having Jarrett Lee in there on 4th and 6 to begin with, whew, man. Hey, Les Miles. Les Miles held that job for a long time.
Dream big. You got to dream big these days.
Dream big. Also, I would like to, I do want to go ahead. I have one more thing for this podcast. One more thing. Because the only game I really wanted to talk about. Because Ole Miss Bama is going to happen. We can't. That's just going to happen. Sure. Whatever. The less I talk about it, the
same
better.
Same with Cincinnati Notre Dame, I feel. Unless that's the one you want to talk about.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No.
It's not. Good. We're on the same page.
I know one thing about that Notre Dame team. They don't lose. How do they win?
It doesn't matter.
I'm going to refer you back to my previous statement of they don't lose. They went to OT with Florida State. It's coming. I don't know when. I don't know how. But that L is coming. Is it happening? Is it coming to Cincinnati? No, because nothing good happens to Cincinnati. Nothing. And go undefeated, and everybody will just act like they're invisible. It's not happening. And then they go to a bowl game, and they get hammered by somebody with a bunch of, like, huge 5 stars you can't miss with. Yeah.
They should have beat Georgia, too. They fucked that
they
game
should have beat
so
Georgia.
Bad.
They should. Like, we Sorry. Are so not far from that, right? When people are like, whoa, man, Georgia's invincible.
Oh, wait. I don't know if I've said it. Just want to get this out of the way. Georgia's winning the national title this year. There. I said it. We don't have to talk about it. Just... There it is. Sorry.
Oh, I already.
What is the game you want to talk? Is I'm looking at the schedule and I'm scared because we have alluded to a few. But go ahead. What do you got?
I don't even want to talk necessarily about a game. Like, okay. Sure, we could talk about Arkansas, Georgia, but I think we have a good idea what's going to happen there. You're like, respectable loss for Arkansas. That's what's going
to
happen there.
Yeah, yeah. I regret to say that I agree with you, and I'll be thrilled to be wrong.
Yeah, as much as I am embracing the womp lifestyle, which everybody is womping at this point, including the Arkansas social media accounts on all levels. I expect Bill Clinton to at one point just chime in with a womp. That is how deeply the womp has infiltrated Arkansas culture. I'm overjoyed by that because it's really fun to say womp and to act like you're Sam Pittman, because it just feels like it's good to be Sam Pittman, right? Like, just
it's
like,
not bad, yeah.
No, I just get to be a big old pile of meat going around, getting recruits, making things bigger. That's all Sam Pittman's, just yelling at jukeboxes. Play a song!
Stole this crystal skull from the Memphis Pyramid. Nobody stopped me. Now I got powers. I'm the juggernaut, bitch!
Womp! Go womp you with this cane topped with a crystal skull.
I'm the womper knot.
Get out of my head, Jerry! Jerry Jones has psychic powers, right? Like, that's firmly established.
Yep, sure.
He's Professor X, but he only uses them to, like,
masturbate. Look at,
that's it. Yeah. He's like, hold on, I'm going to find a hot brain. That brain's real hot. Just I have a text from a good friend of the program, Jane Coaston, and it is from 20 minutes ago.
Okay.
Or 30 minutes ago. I have three texts in a row. And I'm going to ask you to read them if you can see them off of my camera, okay?
Okay.
I think you can.
This is 100% not going to work, but I'm excited. Sir, you're shaking his head.
No. Can, all right, so
oh my
can you
God.
Read that backwards?
Not even slightly visible, you stupid no. ass. Wait, all right, no? hold on. Backwards? $95 fucking million.
We're going to play Jeopardy.
Okay. What
is the question that answers that? $95 fucking million.
Can we kind of do this? Not 20 questions. Can I do 10 questions?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it about sports?
Yes.
Is it about college football?
Yes.
Is it about college football in the state of Texas?
Yes.
Is it about Texas A&M?
Yes.
Is it about Jimbo Fisher?
Yes.
Got it.
That is how I learned somebody just found out that Jimbo Fisher just got an extension.
Yeah.
Whoop.
Yeah. They host Mississippi State this week. And that on
Mississippi
paper.
Mississippi State might beat them.
On paper, you're like, this shouldn't be an issue. But man, like, there is a lot. Yeah, this is one that I would not be surprised if you, like, look at your phone after dinner and you're like, oh shit.
Oh no.
A&M is down by 12 to Mississippi State in the fourth. Oh fuck.
I mean, well, we discount the whims of Mike Leach a little bit after a decade of exposure to some of the worst of them. I would go ahead and just say, dude still hates A&M. Always hate it. Remember, he called them fake soldiers when he was at Texas Tech.
Like we joke about Jimbo's contract and the fact that it famously has no decrease mm-mm. whatsoever. Like, he can basically do whatever he wants and he's still getting this money. But, like, on the other hand, I feel like that puts him in very real danger. Like, this is how you get disappeared.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't. What, you take $95 million of someone's money and they don't get what they want?
Well, if you owe somebody $95 million, you really mm-hmm. only have to find a hitman who will do the job for 94. Like, that's a net. that's just math right there.
You've saved me money.
You saved $1 million.
That's going to be a Jimbo.
It's fucked up, but it's true.
Jimbo gets fired in 4 years. Some reporter's like, so Jimbo, you know they're going to kill you, right? They're just going to straight up murder you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that. I know. You said that on paper this was a matchup, and I immediately heard Jimbo Fisher's voice go, I got paper.
I got paper.
I got lots of paper. So much paper.
I got bearer bonds. You ever seen one of those? Of course you haven't, broke boy.
Yeah, I have it. You know, I'm 3 inches taller. You know why? Bear bonds in my shoes. I'm standing on them right now. Stacked them up. Some people use shoals. Broke people.
Not me.
I got money.
I would also like to say, while we have paid a lot of attention to UConn Vanderbilt, and I think some people are like, this probably suggests something very broken about you for focusing on this game.
Yeah.
At the very same time, on Big Ten Network, Northwestern plays Nebraska, and I'm not going to talk about that at all. So who's the broken one? Who's the one gawking at failure and misery? Not me.
Mm-mm.
I'm just doing it because it's local.
I'm going to go ahead and point you, because one of my pet obsessions this year is with Fresno State and with their actual god, the quarterback, Jake Hayner. Yeah, Fresno State plays at Hawaii at 11 p.m. Eastern.
11 Eastern. Oh, boy.
You're going to watch Jake Hayner in trench warfare at Hawaii, right? People at Hawaii are going to be out for blood for Jake Hayner. They're going to be driving. They're going to be dropping things from airplanes on him. He is going to have 12 men on the field, and the ref won't call it because they will have paid him off. And Jake Hayner is going to throw the game-winning TD with like 12 seconds left.
Serber, can I ask you a quick ACC question?
Yes, of course.
How funny will it be if Duke beats UNC?
Sequels are usually pretty good, but yeah, I think it'll be good.
Okay. All right.
Okay, now that you've cracked the Ark of the Covenant here.
Yeah, there it is.
We can look at everything. This weekend in the ACC is fucking choice.
Yeah.
Because it is amazing. I'm just going to go, do you have any idea? I just want a yes or no, straight up. Do you have any idea what's going to happen in any of these games? First, Thursday night, peak ACC. Virginia at Miami. Any clues?
Miami's going to win that, but feel bad about it.
Pittsburgh at Georgia Tech. Any idea?
Nope.
Duke at UNC. I'm going to sign up with no say.
Nope.
I have no clue. Louisville at Wake. Any clue?
I think Wake will win that one pretty easily. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, because the only dependable team is Wake Forest, and as stated in the top whatever on courtesy of Channel 6. When Wake Forest is good, it's a sign that things have gone terribly awry.
Yep.
Okay, when they're the most reliable thing. I have another one that I'm just going to go ahead and plead no contest to. NOLO. Like, literally, this is my NOLO. Syracuse at Florida State. Not a clue.
It seems... Florida State can't start the season 0-5, right?
Yeah. No, they can.
But they will.
What's stopping them?
I mean,
you don't have a single reason to say no.
The problem is, if you had given me their schedule at the start of the year, I said, well, they won't start 0-2. Well, they won't start 0-3. Well, they won't. So, yeah, I guess like there is no bottom.
Yeah. It's like when a friend's going through it and they're like, oh, yeah, man, they repoed his house. Well, it can't get worse than that. Actually. Yeah.
they repoed his arm. What? No, like his human arm.
He doesn't own that kidney. They took it fair and square. I'm sorry. Property rights are property rights. I'm not even the out of conference game, I'm not sure about, because NC State hosts Louisiana Tech. The NC State beat Clemson last week.
If it were anyone other than Louisiana Tech.
Then hard luck, Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, like Skip Holtz has such a boner for ruining his own day. Like, just absolute, like, just hates himself so bad.
So if Louisiana Tech is leading going into the fourth quarter, NC State's a lock.
Yes.
Just go ahead, place that instant bet. Yep. Go ahead. Especially if NC State's wearing the horny wolf helmet, if they're wearing the, like, extremely horn dog wolf helmet.
You have not even addressed the evening game yet.
I am about to.
Okay.
Boston College at Clemson. Is Clemson going to drop to 2-3? Boston College is good. I don't mean to alarm anybody. They're a pretty good football team.
And by doing so, Clemson would drop out of the top 25 for the first time in I don't know how long.
A decade?
I don't think it's got to be a little shorter than that, but not that much shorter.
No.
Probably like 7 years. I have a hard time seeing why. I have a hard time saying, like, oh, Clemson will definitely win this game.
I don't think they will. I don't think they know anything right now.
What will the polls do with Boston College if they are 5-0 and have beat Clemson on the road? Like, if you just took that in a vacuum, you'd be like, well, that's like a top four resume. Like, that's not that different from Georgia's resume in some ways.
Yeah.
But and Boston College is going to be like, oh, fine. Here's 22. Shut up. Enjoy it. Michigan lost, but they're ahead of you. Just shut up.
They could be. I think Boston College could be 8-0, and they would still be 13.
Everybody will be like, well, you should leave the American. We're not in the American. What are you talking about? We're at a Power 5 conference.
Do you know what happened, by the way? Mm. To really help this argument that I'm making, that we're going to keep Boston College out of the top 10, much less the top 5, no matter how many wins they have. This, talking about what hot garbage the ACC is. That's
true. Because
everybody's going to be like, no, that's like they'll give them the Conference USA consolation spot of like 16. Like, that's an undefeated CUSA team.
Listen, this is the best bullshit trick the SEC has pulled. Anytime an SEC team loses, it's like, whew, that's a deep conference, brother. Every weekend you gotta strap them up. There are no easy wins except Vanderbilt in that conference.
So
just a lot of talent. You Clemson lose one ACC game and it's like, trash, stupid trash.
Absolute fucking garbage.
Yeah,
Clemson, by the way, has been ranked 107
straight
weeks in a row. Yeah, which is the third longest active streak behind Ohio State at 150. Whew, and Alabama at 218. 218 straight weeks that Alabama has been ranked in the AP top 25. There is one more something's got to give game that I just want to laugh at. I don't even want to discuss it because, again, this is firmly in my, I don't know what's going to happen. I was going to Maryland, and both Maryland and Iowa, much to my chagrin, are both undefeated.